This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
We listen to Adventures in Odyssey, The Perfect Witness, Parts 1, 2, and 3, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
I want to see Castle!
I wanted to yuck everybody, and I did!
Yeah, but you are.
Hey.
I'm just chilling.
Disgusting.
Okay,
looking.
Bitch, watch this.
I love the Zynga.
Jesus Christ.
Bazinga. Losers, in other words.
Oh, why don't you want to get in the bathtub?
Bazinga.
It's Sicario.
You got me straight tripping,
buddy. Are you familiar with, like, Calvinism as a concept?
Okay, the rule book's been torn up now, and America is wiping its nasty ass with it.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're wiping our nasty little butts with some good Christian fun.
The GCF rule book.
Hey, that's some toilet paper we can find. Good Christian Fun is the podcast, of course, where we talk about Christian pop culture, Christian movies, music, entertainment of all sorts, made for, made by Christians, that in these trying, uncertain times, we return to as a touchstone, as a bedrock of, like, what makes us feel comfortable, what makes us feel happy or makes us feel safe or bring joy. And that's
My continual safety blanket is always the work of Focus on the Family.
Focus on the Family. Some of Carmen's lesser known discography has been a balm, a salve in these trying times. We should check in on Carmen and see how his quarantine's going. I'm concerned.
I'm sure he's not taking it seriously, and he will be ill soon. I knock on wood. I hope he's not.
But. He does Instagram lives where he's like, "I'm licking light poles to own the lips. The enemy's coming."
What was the thing he posted a while ago? Is like he was praying it away or something.
He did post, like, in the early stages, like in early March, he was like, "Yeah, we're gonna have our concerts, even though they don't want us to. We're still gonna gather." And
right,
then it
right.
was like, "Legally, no, you can't, buddy. Sorry, pal." So they did have to call
the
it
feds
off.
Shut him down.
Yes,
they're
yes,
scared
yes.
of Carmen and what he can do.
I think so. What if we found out that, like, Carmen was deep state this whole time? And he is like,
he's
it would
the pocket of it.
It would be the perfect cover because he would be hiding in plain sight.
Oh, the plainest sight. Eye-breaking sight.
But we're not here to talk about Carmen. We're here to talk about Adventures in Odyssey. Some might say Ooh. The opposite of Carmen in
Yay.
A lot of ways. Wholesome family entertainment that is specifically endorsed by Vice President Mike Pence, who did shout out how much he loves Adventures in Odyssey.
Yeah, he said he loved this and Uncut Gems. So those are the only things I'm watching or
Mother
listening
and
to.
I unwind after a long day of fighting COVID-19 with Connie, Eugene, and the crew, as well as Adam
Alex
Sandler
doing an impression
ruining
of
his
Adam
life.
Sandler. Why won't you be nicer to me?
Why won't you be nicer to me, mother? but to do that, we gotta have a little help from a little special guest. Not a little special guest, a big, very special guest. Friends and folks, you may know him from his work at Relevant Magazine or read him in the Washington Post. He's not Mike. Keep that in mind. Give it the hell up for Tyler.
Tyler,
oh man.
No dog shot here, I tell you that much.
It's so hard to sit around and, like, listen to people talk about stuff like Carmen for, like, because you know, BTS, a little BTS action. You sit here and wait for my big introduction. Like, I'm backstage waiting for the curtain to open, and you're talking about my man, about Carmen, my guy.
So why is he your man?
Yeah, you're unleashed now. Let's hear it.
No, it's gotten more complicated, obviously, in recent
in the last
years.
20 to 30
By
years,
what?
It has gotten...
He was my first. I wrote a fan letter, a handwritten fan letter to Carmen. I have a very distinct memory of being of little Tyler, like, you with my crayons writing, and I think I even drew him a picture. I hope he still has
of
it.
Of Satan,
Well, because it was punched. Like when you're like for a young, like aggressively kind of like aggro straight child in Nebraska, those music videos kicked ass.
Yeah.
It was like, what if like Braveheart, but Christian? And so like I could defend it to my parents. Like, well, it's not really violent. It's like prayer is a sword that you can use to disembowel sin. And so it was very, the metaphor was really easy. He put it on the bottom shelf, but you kind of get the impression that it was the same thing for him. Like, he just wanted to do this and he was like, oh, what is fine? It's the devil. Sure. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Action.
What's the hook? What's the angle? Oh, and I do wonder, Tyler, if you were also into like lavish Busby Berkeley musicals or show tunes or cabaret acts, because
dance,
that is
dance, song and dance is a big
that
element
is the Venn diagram of where Carmen meets with the rest of the culture. In that sense, he's a showman. I mean, that what is it, Righteous Invasion of Truth music video, mm-hmm. him and the sweaty yeah. boys in the factory.
Oh my god, he's got both sides. He loves like ripping an asshole in Satan, and he also loves to like shuck and jive. He really loves to dance.
He loves shucking,
but he's falling on hard times. He's falling. I feel like he was never really a part of. I'm sure there's reasons. I don't want to know what they are. If you know any rumors, don't tell me. I'm happy without knowing. But I feel like he's never really a part of the rest of the culture. Like, he was always off doing his own thing. And I feel like at all the parties, like Stephen Curtis Chapman and Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant were like, oh yeah, sorry, Carmen, we thought we texted you. You must have missed that.
He's
oh.
for sure the maligned little brother of CCM. He's probably got a chip on his shoulder. And my favorite detail, Tyler, from our Carmania episodes back from last October, is the CCM magazine profile that someone did on him where they went to his home in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which was, you know, big and expensive, but the way they described the decor was like a TGI Fridays. And that it was like jukeboxes and neon everywhere.
Oh my god, like memorabilia.
And it's the 1950s still. America's still great.
Yikes.
That's Carmen's call.
See, and that's where things have gotten complicated in recent years for Carmen. But you've already done the Carmen episode. We don't need to revisit those traumatizing memories.
Listen, my energy for discussing Carmen is a renewable resource in this economy. I don't anticipate.
We need to tap into that.
We won't revisit Carmania even further. Maybe it's the climax of this podcast is either we have Amy Grant on or we have Carmen on. It can't end any other way. It's gotta
can
be,
we please have two man. Different options? I mean, keep Amy.
I think Amy would be a substantially better guest. I feel like Amy's like low-key, like on this pod's energy, but doesn't know how to come out about it without like jeopardizing the career she's built for herself.
No, totally. Of course not. There was Lars Godfrey.
But maybe she's in quarantine mode now and she's kind of like, what the hell?
She's been doing Instagram live stuff herself.
Really?
Yes, she has. She was playing a few, you know, so she's kind of like me in that sense, just kind of going off on Instagram.
Daily. What if we start laying the groundwork now to make this seem more like a devotional podcast so that when she does come on, you know, she's able to like cover her own butt of like, I thought it was, you know, like Jesus calling Piper's daily retort or whatever, and then we could
have her on
and then do the normal show, you know.
Or Caroline, we could just have 3 minutes of every episode devoted to like speaking sincerely, and then like that's the snippet we send to her team. But like in the body of the episode, we end it by saying not or JK or whatever and are fully insincere about it.
Micah 3:4 ties us all in together, actually, in that the sounds of praise rise to the
cook.
Lord. My ass.
I mean, she did a Tiny Desk concert last year, so she's That's down true. With like.
No, I think she's like a really funny, chill person, and I love her, and I would like her to be my mom.
She's an Enneagram.
Her daughter has a little CBD shop right down the street from me here in Nashville.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, not running right now. I hope it lasts. This is true. Yeah, this is true. I don't know if it's supposed to be known, but it is. But it's a fact. It's like we're talking 3 blocks from my house.
Amy Grant's daughter has a CBD shop in Nashville.
Her and her husband, yeah, run a little CBD spot.
Smokes weed for sure.
Wow.
So we can fanfic the rest of this pretty easily, I think. But.
Or like, let's dream big, gang. Like, could they become a sponsor? Could they be our new Squarespace?
Yeah, there you go.
We could reach out.
are MeUndies.
Yeah, I'm sure people can't go to the store right now. I don't think it's considered an essential industry here in Nashville, Tennessee.
Right, and what the fake news isn't telling people right now in the mainstream is that advertising budgets are actually soaring, and people have more money than ever to spend on podcast
marketing is
mid-rolls.
The number one priority for all the companies right now.
Mm-hmm. It is so funny. I've become strange. It sounds weird, but like strange bedfellows with my brother in a lot of this, and there's a lot of crosstalk on family group texts about like the media is doing this and the media is doing that, and this is what the media wants you to believe. One point number one with him and I being, do they know that we're kind of technically the media?
That's funny.
Point number two is like, in what world would the media want like the bottom to absolutely fall out of their whole revenue like plan? Yes. For how
what's
to, like,
the end game?
Yes, like what is the, ooh, it's like a producer's situation. Like we actually go bankrupt and that's
they gain money by tanking the whole industry somehow.
Yeah. So yeah, I need some galaxy brain person to slide into my DMs and explain that to me. But in the meantime, Tyler, we just want to check in with you, see how the mood is.
I appreciate that. You're
coming to us from Nashville, Tennessee. And thanks for doing the show again, by the way. We had you on a second service episode like a year ago or a year and a half ago, something like that.
And I couldn't wait to come to return, obviously. Aww. I just came from a socially distanced tang and I said, I got to go. I got a podcast. There's no good way to say it, but I did.
No.
I said it. I got a podcast. And they were all fans. Everybody that I was talking was very excited to hear that Good Christian Vote was going to be back. And somebody described you as the Horny Christian Podcast. And I don't know if that's a brand that you embrace or not, but I think it's a good lane.
The question is horny for what? You know, like that's always unclear
God.
To me.
Horny yeah, for holy.
When Amy Grant's on, it's God.
I guess it's a moving target. Anyone?
There's enough holy podcast. We can be a horny podcast.
The Horny Christian Podcast.
Someone over here is like, what the hell?
All questionable adjectives for this podcast.
I guess so. Yes. Well, that's very kind. Well, and to me, I do feel like... and maybe this is just like a story I'm telling myself, but at least with when you are like, and I've guessed on a few podcasts during this time as well, and when you like do podcasts and it is a Zoom hang, it does just feel like a little more intentional and there's just a little more structure around it. And it feels better to me than just like an absolute amorphous blob of like Zoom happy hour or something like that, where it's just like everyone's kind of giving their attention, but they don't know how much they should and things like that. Although I will say, and you know, there's going to be some birthdays coming up that have to do, have to make do in quarantine times. I did a birthday party a week ago over Zoom that was so much fun. The format of it was the birthday boy said, I want all of you to make PowerPoint presentations about me. And present them. And you just do a share screen.
It's pretty good.
And do your presentation. And
That's
then so we
fun.
Played a game of fishbowl over the Zoom and it worked out great. You get a Google Doc situation going. Someone acts as the fishbowl. So you like privately chat them all the answers that they're drawing. It was a fun time. So I think
the game thing can work. The game thing provides good structure for a Zoom hang. I did last night a game night with some friends and it was a good time. But then you can sometimes tell that one person is like a game person, and I wouldn't say I'm a game person, and then we're all just kind of like there to be like, well, it feels I have nothing else to do, so I have no excuse for this person to finally, and I'm not trying to subtweet anybody in my life here right now. But if you're listening to this and you've played a game with me recently,
you're it.
I've had mixed feelings on game nights so far, but last night's game night was good. PowerPoint is a great idea.
Yeah, PowerPoint's fine. Just anything. To me, it's either like have a lot of structure or absolutely none at all whatsoever. Like for some of us, like there's been a group of us that have started watching movies together. And there's like Chrome browser extensions you can install where you can like literally sync up your Netflix and everyone's watching the same movie at the same time. And those are fun. And we watched Rosemary's Baby last night. And that was a terrific time. And literally just like having people... on screen next to you, even when you're not talking for 2 hours, feels great.
I think that's
a nice feeling.
Because you're by yourself, Kevin, right?
Yes. So, Tyler, what is the mood in Nashville right now? Caroline and I are in LA, just, you know, practically a couple miles from each other, although we haven't seen each other in nearly a month. What's the mood in Nashville? How seriously are people taking it? Can you find flour in the store? What's going on there?
Flour is difficult. Well, in Nashville, like right before all this, remember we had those tornadoes come through.
Oh my God.
So
yeah.
So that's been tough. It's kind of a dark mood around the town, right? And there's a lot of like, chin up everybody, because that's a tough two punch for this town to take, especially since the tornadoes.
Do you know anyone that like lost their houses or anything?
So no, not well. No, I have friends of friends, that situation, because near us where it really hit was like a lot like businesses, like a lot of local like restaurants and shops were, which is, I'm glad it's not somebody's house, but it was a lot of people's businesses that were already didn't have a roof, and now they can't open up again for who knows how long. So I would say it has been difficult in kind of a weird way, because for maybe a week, the country's attention was on Nashville, and then this all happened, and obviously everybody got caught up in their own issues, and that's completely understandable, but it really compounded a lot of ongoing issues here. And I'm pretty sure that our governor is aware that there's a pandemic right now. He hasn't talked about it very much, but it seems like he would have to know, right? Our mayor, the mayor of Nashville, has been very
on top of it.
Pretty good.
Was it the Tennessee governor that said like, "Oh, I just realized you can get it asymptomatically," or was that someone else?
No, that was Georgia. I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad. You can't claim that.
can't claim that one. Yeah, could be worse.
For sure.
Wow. It is funny how much all of us are becoming, if you weren't already, like way more aware of your like local officials and who they are and what they're doing now.
That's really true.
Like, I've never watched Gavin Newsom do a speech before, who's the governor of California, until today or a couple weeks ago.
And I can tell you exactly what percentage of the LA County Council people are landlords and not. And it's over 60%, and that's why they're like, well, we need to advocate for the mom and pop landlords.
Wow,
they're people too. And so as far as like halting evictions and stuff.
Oh my God.
I recommend that wherever you are locally listening to this show, check in with your council people and how they're voting regarding evictions, and then check in how many of them themselves
council
are landlords.
Council people are so wild. They are like a whole different game.
Yeah.
Like, politicians are weird, and then council people are like flagrantly weird.
This is like a black light for local officials, though. Like, it seems like if you can say something dumb, you will say something dumb about this, and it will live forever. And the fact that people have, that the tweets are still up from 3 weeks ago about like, oh, five people died and we shut down the entire, like, that, those, you can go, you, do they know how to delete those?
Maybe not.
Because they still exist, and there are some local Tennessee folks who still have them up, and it makes me question a lot of, like, so the type of person who wants to get into politics, clearly intelligence is not the reason. They're not the person thinking like, oh, I'm smart, I should do this. But I don't know what it is then. This is a course correction in my own ideas about what kind of person wants to get into politics.
It's the great
wardrobe.
The past
4 years have been.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, social according life. To members of my family, it's not about power. It's because the president loves this country and saw what was happening.
That he got the position.
Yeah. So yeah.
He hugged that flag. That was a powerful moment for me.
Never seen that before.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a president hug a flag? Didn't think so.
No,
that's because they all hated this country until this one. They won't even touch the flag. They would just look at it or salute it or put their hand over their heart. Get in the dirt with that flag, baby. So as far as like from a domestic perspective, you and Liz, you're going on 3 weeks quarantine.
Me and my wife are on, this is week five quarantine for us.
Oh, week five, okay.
And we both work, she's going to grad school. She's in a low residency program at NYU getting her master's in creative fiction. So
is she dancing along to Losing My Religion like the dean of NYU was as well? I don't know if you saw this video.
I did see this video, but only because I'm in the scene now.
Oh, yes.
By virtue, I'm married into the scene now.
Right. And for the listener at home, there was a video that the dean of Tisch School at NYU sent out where she said, "Sorry, we can't refund your tuition." and which is bad enough. But then she also attached to the email video of her dancing to REM's "Losing My Religion" in her office, which some might say is tone deaf. Unfortunately, yes.
Grad school
healed me. Made me feel better.
Church, yes. Mm-hmm. As we're recording this, Easter is tomorrow. This will come out a few days after Easter. But what is your local church doing to adjust to all of the quarantine stuff?
We're doing Zoom hangs. Mm-hmm. You know, our pastor hops on Zoom, and tomorrow will be the first time that I join live. Actually, I've been cheating, just doing the podcast listen after the fact.
Oh, I thought you meant you just like put up a picture of yourself on the Zoom hang and just like let it sit.
Like taking notes.
A Ferris Bueller situation where Kevin McAllister and the dancing.
Right. Where
it blinks every once in a while.
Okay, so Zoom hang, is there any big Easter plan for tomorrow?
I don't know. I mean, there's something's happening, but did you see, I don't know if you saw that Joel Osteen has recruited Kanye West, Mariah Carey, and Tyler Perry.
I did see that. Yeah.
Any one of whom could be considered the black sheep of that group. I don't know which one.
Mariah Carey.
I'm not sure who the weirdest. What? Kanye makes sense given Kanye's new lane.
Yeah. And Kanye and Joel Osteen have been like doing a thing for a while, right?
Oh, they've been circling each other for a little bit. Just kind of flirting.
Kind of a will they, won't they? Yeah.
Can you imagine the text message conversations between Joel and little Kanye late at night? What are you doing?
You know what just occurred to me is with Zoom church, it's like way easier to see who's coming to church or not, or like how you're doing. So you log on and there's like 5 screens live versus 20 or whatever.
Yeah, man.
That's a real gut punch to the old pastor, I'm sure.
It's also, I think that I've listened for work to a few different Sunday sermons just to check in on how other people are handling this. And speaking of black lights, this one it's not been great for pastors who also try to throw a little bit of stand up into the sermon, because I think they're realizing that a lot of their stuff was just like the laughter was polite for the most part. And now when there's no light, it's like watching 30 Rock, or like watching an old show without the laugh track, like Big Bang Theory with no laugh track. You're like, oh, this isn't actually funny at all. This is, they just pause.
Yeah, or that Maria Bamford special like where she just laugh. Does it to her parents sitting on a couch.
It's the same thing here where it's kind of a dark realization, like, oh, maybe they were never funny. Maybe it was always just, we felt like we had to laugh because it was polite, and now the jokes are still there, but they're not. It's not good. It's pretty. So that's another dark thing about this time. One of
that
the less dark
happy,
things, but it's
actually.
Serious.
Well, is that pastors are realizing they're not funny, Caroline?
Yeah. That always pissed me off as they think they're like slaying the crowd. And I'm like, these people are captive. They can't help it. The bar is so low.
Every now and then they get a real laugh, and like the look of joy on their face is like, oh my God.
Especially when they didn't expect it. There's like, what else can I do? What other power can I have? I mean, so in listening to all those different kinds of sermons, I am wondering what the general take is and like what the overlap is between like even more conservative churches or trains of thought versus more progressive, as like, as far as like what everyone's main message or like angle of theology or God that people are focusing on right now. Because even in the church I've been going to, which is a little more progressive, it's a lot more progressive, it's still one of those things where it's like, you're gonna come out the other side of this, blah 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 blah, which like, and they temper with like, also this sucks shit and maybe not, who knows, but like but it's still kind of like, this is the refiner's fire right now, which like I get a little impatient with.
You gotta say, I guess it's, that feels like the obvious take, right? To say something to that effect. Like, but my church is pretty progressive, and he's really just stuck to the script. Like, he had a sermon series he was gonna do, and that's what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
And and that's honestly been fine for me. Because there's only so much you can say, and I feel like we're right in the thick of this thing right now. So a lot of the takes, like we're saying, are going to age pretty poorly. so just listening to go along on the series, it's been interesting to see that the more conservative churches are still abiding by it. I haven't heard a whole lot of like the media's inflating all of this, but there is sort of a we can't give in to fear. We can't be ruled by, we can't, don't let the narratives out there.
Yeah, a lot of focus on
fear
and panic.
A lot of focus on like, well, and I don't know what that, like, what does it mean then to, I don't know. They're saying fear as in we don't want to give in to fear, but they're not providing an alternative. So what would it look like to not be afraid? Does it mean we should not be social distant? Does it mean we should be meeting together?
You already got the COVID-19 mask of the sword of the spirit and God.
I don't know what the implication is. I don't know what the implication is.
Well, we were talking about it because we talked about, I think it was Piper's reaction, and he was quoting that Winston Churchill, C.S. Lewis, like whole spiel kind of thing. But it was way like, I think it's supposed to be like, don't be afraid, like keep calm and carry on. And like the way to win this is to prove to the virus that we will not be taken down a notch.
Yeah. And the virus will be so impressed with our courage.
Yeah. I think also like economically that like, oh, we'll recover because we didn't, you know, panic and give way or something like that.
There was that Lewis thing about like, yeah, just be doing mundane tasks. What would you want to be doing otherwise? And so much of that, as much as it is like,
apply.
Yeah, well, and it's Christian theology, but that's also like Lewis just being like a classic 20th century stiff upper lip gents like sort of dude too. Like as amazing of a writer he is, some of it was like the fancy British way of saying suck it up. Who cares? So that's been interesting to kind of try to parse through, because I have it would be interesting. The fear thing does remind me of we talked about it in a second service a couple weeks ago, Caroline, where the Jeremy Camp biopic movie did so well in its first week of release, because it was like it came out March 13th or something like that, and it made over what it was supposed to while every other movie tanked. And then Jeremy Camp put out a like message on Instagram like, thanks for not giving in to fear and showing up to the box
office. Oh, I didn't see
this week.
Oh, wow.
A very damning statistic given the circumstances.
Yeah, totally. Maybe it is like you'll be smarter than everybody else if you're not afraid and just like,
I've never been regretful of being afraid of something, though, where it's like, oh, I was afraid of that thing and I shouldn't have been. But I'm never like, oh, I shouldn't have been afraid of that. You know what I mean? I haven't experienced like
not like this.
I have
no
all the time. Yeah, not with this.
I mean, though, I've been afraid of like, you know, like I think like you can be afraid of like professional opportunities or not going for like, maybe I was just afraid of, I don't know, sending it, like trying some big creative project and I was afraid of the enormity of it, so I never gave it a shot. But afraid of like real life dangerous things, like give in to fear. Yeah, that's
absolutely
what it's there for. That's a
good
survival
Christian
instinct.
Fun podcast is pro fear. Feel afraid
be a
about
coward.
Anything.
Be scared. Shake in your boots.
Yeah.
That's the GCF way.
Be terrified. Lock yourself in your closet with nothing but your iPhone and a pair of headphones to
and
listen to your favorite shows.
Wrapped up in bubble wrap, like Bubble Boy.
Yeah, or Laura Palmer. Yeah, okay, and things at home. You guys are used to working at home, so.
Yeah, sure, but it's one thing, you know, it's one
different
thing when you do, because usually like one of us would get out of the house for like I'm going to a coffee shop or I'm going, you can't really do that anymore. And it also just feels different when you're not, when you have to work at home, not you're choosing to work at home. Mm-hmm. That's better. But yeah, but we're okay. Things have been all right. I'm ready to go to places again and kind of accepting that's just not going to be the case for a while. But compared to a lot, you know, there's always the comparison thing that you do now. And I think you're not supposed to do that, maybe, like for your emotional health. Like if it's hard for you, it's hard for you. But it is, I have seen a lot of friends and even family members who have had a much more difficult time with this. I have a lot of family who's in the healthcare industry, who work at hospitals. So that has been kind of scary, but also puts my own thing of it. I just sit on the internet and write all day, and I can do that from home for the next, you know, 6 years. It's fine.
Yeah.
People are going to keep clicking.
Mm-hmm. And in these uncertain times, are there any particular memes that have been healing for you?
Yeah. Than me, there's been some great. I love the though I don't even know what it's called, but the weekend TikTok situation.
What's the weekend
with that weekend song?
My meme consumption has gone up. One of the ones I've been finding comfort in myself is the one where someone does something that almost certainly ends in death, and it cuts to the men holding the coffin and dancing to the EDM song. You've seen that, right, Caroline?
Yeah.
I had one. I had this is going to sound like I'm trying to just plug my own brand, which I'm really not trying to do. But I had a tweet that did some numbers, put up some numbers last year. It's got a little rebirth. Somebody dusted it off and presented it again. And this is not my humor. It's just a clip of the president trying to answer a question about his favorite Bible verse and not being able to. He clearly doesn't know. Like, somebody asks him, "What's your favorite verse of the Bible?" And he kind of hems and haws. And
Old Testament, and they ask him,
"What's your favorite?" Yeah. "What's your favorite Testament?" And he can't. So I put that energy out, and now it's back again, and it's far and away like the most thing I've ever had been ever gone, most viral I've ever gone. But it's also getting me a lot of these blue no matter who like take that Trump types in my mentions a lot, which is really, and I think they get kind of frustrated now that most of my stuff is like weird Christian memes and superhero like fandom, because this is not what they signed up for. You know, when you have an off-brand thing, like bring in a lot of followers, and they're like, "Oh, never mind, you're just weird." And
yeah, you know, Tyler, I feel like you and I could talk about this for hours. The kind of perils of going
like
viral,
Kevin's whole career,
was something that like maybe doesn't fully represent the core of our whole ethos.
Got to be careful. You got to be careful. But I'm not going to change who I am. I'm not going to change my brand.
Can I truly
keep everybody happy?
Caroline actually has a similar experience with this, because she did have a Letterboxd review a couple of months ago for 1917 that posted some pretty big numbers. And no, the difference here is that this is the core of her ethos, was the Letterboxd review.
This is who
I feel like that's more on brand. That feels, I don't know what it is. That feels right. I don't know if it's 1917.
I don't think it
Letterboxd
got the biggest numbers it could. You know, like your friend Mia, she gets the numbers.
Well, she's,
you know,
literally the biggest user on Letterboxd, I think, right now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's quite an accomplishment.
Caroline,
that's,
do you remember the body of your review for 1917?
Do I remember it?
Mm-hmm.
I sure do.
Could you repeat it for us right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
My review was you know, they shot all that movie in one take.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I said, I have some trenches these boys can do a single shot in.
Delightful. Delightful.
Horny Christian podcast.
I know that's a small thing, you know, and it's just, it's like, oh, haha. But, you know, part of me is like, is that the funniest thing I'll ever do? And that's it for me.
Oh, no. You know what's funny about that, though,
funny,
is that we workshopped that on that Oscar episode we did with Demi and Jossi.
We did? I said that?
Yeah, you said that on the episode. Wait,
oh,
do you
nice
not remember,
okay,
this?
Cool. No. I mean, I remember the episode. I don't remember like verbatim what I said the whole time, or that I said that.
Well, I'll make
that
a job
right
for next week's episode of GCF.
That tracks. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So the bit got elevated. Oh, man.
Yeah, see?
I wish I had some people to like, workshop.
Tyler, what I wanted to ask is if you have gotten any new hobbies going in this downtime home.
Oh, man. I feel bad that the answer is no.
That's okay.
So many people are doing cool stuff. And I kind of thought early on, like, I wonder what the new thing I'm going to pick up is. And so far, I just kind of thought a hobby would happen to me. Like, I don't know what by osmosis, I just realize like, oh, I'm really good with I don't know, karate? I have no idea what I thought was going to happen.
You're not baking any bread, Tyler.
I mean, there was already, my wife loves to bake bread and has always loved to bake bread. And I think is kind of mad that this is now a thing, because for a long time this was, you know,
her thing.
She's been doing this.
Yeah.
I did see, I was going on a walk and I saw a guy, and maybe he's always done this, but I've lived here for a long time and I have never seen him out before with his bow and arrow.
What?
Which is an interesting hobby to pick up.
Oh, no.
Unless, I don't know if it's a hobby or if he just thinks this is going to last a
like
lot longer
one?
Than we think
like a
it
full
is.
Hunting one?
Like a big, yeah, like a, like, not like a Robin Hood situation, but like he's, like,
oh, like a crossbow.
It looked dangerous.
I would be less scared if he had a gun in his hand, like a crossbow.
I feel like he knows something we don't. Like, I feel like he's got a friend on the inside who's like, yeah, we're
just shooting the air. Oh, this is,
and that was in his front yard. I don't know what's happening. Front if that's yard. In the front yard, the backyard could be like where the trebuchet is. I don't know what.
Yeah.
What the.
What target practice was he doing?
Too much Zelda Breath of the Wild.
So I guess that's a hobby now, is like watching and gossiping about my neighbors on a podcast.
Totally.
Like, I hope he does.
Well, here's the thing we're all learning in this. It's not like we're all going
to
become new people just because we're quarantined.
No.
The things that we care about and spend time doing doesn't really change.
I'm playing piano a little bit more. That's been fun.
Oh, that's good. Cool.
Yeah,
that's good
one. I've been trying to make it like a daily habit.
You're coming at this with the concerto.
Yeah. It's been fun to like take requests or just try to do things by ear or, you know. So that's like a fun, boring thing I've been doing.
Tyler, do you want to request Satan Bite the Dust for Kevin's next live?
I mean, I'd be happy to, but I feel like that's not, that. Like a lot of Carmen songs, it's not really a song.
Not melodic.
Because it's just like a spoken word. Yeah. Poem with like a little
all
bit of
all the easier to play, you know, you just slam some keys.
Yeah,
I mean, if you wanted to perform it, you could, but I think you'd have to come up with some. You have to add a lot to make it anything recognizable.
Totally.
There's no chorus.
I mean, the choruses of Carmen songs. You can do "Don't Want No Monsters in My House Tonight," or do "The Only Hope for America is Jesus." Actually, is that the COVID-19 anthem the country needs right now? It's America Again, which is what that song is called.
Oh, it's
America Again. I love that, like that element of surprise attached to it. No, but you know, actually, weirdly, it's so embedded, and because it is so like melodically simple, I have been returning to a lot of like worship songs that I just happen to know, and it like kind of calms me down to play them.
Aww.
Yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of nostalgia. Like a lot. I've been going back to like the 90s aughts. It's not necessarily Christian, but some of it has been. I don't know why. It's just comforting and I know it. And new music just doesn't hold a lot of appeal right now for some reason. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. So I've been returning to some old. And then I did bust out the. I'm trying to decide if it's like good or if I just still like it from being 12. Like. Jars of Clay, Switchfoot, like that was that was Tyler's era of.
Oh yeah,
of, like,
I stand
Christian
by those
music.
Too. I think those are good.
And there's some good. Some of those early Switchfoot albums. I'd say some of those. I'd say there's some great songs on there.
Oh yeah.
I'd say yeah. And I hear good things about those guys. About the. I feel like people. You hear bad things about a lot of Christian artists, but I think John Foreman. As far as I can tell, he's like a good egg.
Mm-hmm. No.
Good energy.
And here's the line of demarcation. John Foreman believes COVID-19 is real.
Do we know that for
it's
a fact?
Staying inside.
Yeah. I mean, by all public appearances, I'm sure he's like, "Hey guys, stay inside" on his Instagram or whatever.
he wrote a relevant article about the importance of staying inside.
Perfect.
Over
see?
Easter. Yes.
There we
see,
go. Okay, good.
Gotcha, Caroline.
You got me. You got me. You know, I was skeptical.
Sent it to us unbidden. I woke up in the open work email and there's a
really?
full completed article from John Foreman to
no
say,
one asked
hey,
him
wanna,
and he's just like, "Here
if
you go.
If you want to publish this, you can." Don't have to tell me twice.
Certainly not. I bet you
12-year-old Tyler sure was pumped about
just
that.
Just hit publish.
It would be funny if the article was like, and it, again, if it was like unsolicited or like on spec, if it was just like, 10 times Switchfoot gave us life during quarantine. It's like, all right, John, I guess we can
10 best this. Switchfoot songs for staying
people will click
calm.
It.
The Switchfoot
30
songs
John Foreman gifts. 30 John Foreman
it's
gifts
like
getting
fresh
us through
ones
quarantine.
He made in his living room.
Yeah, just like,
whoa. Just like shirtless, like moving the hair.
I do love the idea of John Foreman making gifts of himself alone in his
doing the Jake Gyllenhaal handstand shirt thing. Like, if y'all want to post this,
oops.
All right, I challenge Michael Tate, Peter Furler, and freaking Jackie Velasquez. Oh boy! All right. Well, I'm glad quarantine's going okay for you, man, and you're staying sane.
Yeah, we're sitting in.
People,
we're sane.
In Nashville are surviving.
Sane.
Yeah, that's not too bad there. Okay, well, let's take a break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into the topic. Come on, let's go. Which, of course, is Adventures in Odyssey. Was that too loud?
That was shorter than ever. Just come on, let's go.
Oh, well,
I guess it's normally that. Don't they know what to do? I'm diving in.
Yeah, no, I play that. You couldn't hear that?
No. Oh, I think you might have talked.
I'm going to play it until you hear it all.
Okay. Come on, let's go. I hear it.
Make it stop. Okay, so Adventures in Odyssey. So... listen, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. We're excited to talk to you about it, sir. But we talked about how podcast listenership across the board is down. People don't have commutes. But one thing that is up, one genre that is up in podcast listening is the children's and family entertainment genre of podcasts. So all of that has, as families are struggling to figure out how to homeschool their kids or teach them anything at all, I'm sure it's a great non-screen alternative to pacifying them in some way. And one of those shows might just be Adventures in Odyssey, which right now Focus on the Family is offering for a 28-day free trial for the Odyssey Adventure Club. If you go there now, for these uncertain times, they're giving you a month free if you want to listen to it. Which, listen, if you're listening to this show and you don't want to give money to Focus on the Family, just sign up for 28 days. Listen to what you
or just listen to us talk about it. You know, you'll get the same experience.
Or do what we do, have a lifetime subscription, and then just donate an equal amount of money to a competing charity or organization.
Chick-fil-A.
Yes, like Chick-fil-A. Now, Tyler, we talked about Adventures in Odyssey with you a little bit last time you were on the show and your experience with it. At the time, it was a recent event that you had gotten Focus on the Family to confirm on Twitter that Mr. Whitaker did not vote for President Trump.
That's correct.
Oh my God, right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I can't believe he got him
and
to admit it.
We're just hoping that that position from Mr. Whitaker and the Whitaker family holds
stands
strong.
For 2020.
Yeah.
What was their response though? It was like kind of dodgy, right? It was like, well, he wouldn't do something bad or something like that.
No, I think it was cautious, but the implication was definitely, I think explicitly, no, it would not. Mr. Whitaker would not have been on the Trump train. But I do know that the social media guy who was there at the time is no longer there. I don't know if this was a cause and effect situation. Can't prove it, but it was shortly thereafter. But that's correct. That was my
now,
most recent scoop when we talked last year.
Now, what Tyler's leaving out of this story, unfortunately, is that the social media person did on Twitter post a graphic of Mr. Whitaker voting for Jill Stein the next day. And that did cause quite a bit of controversy.
That hurts. That hurts to hear.
Yes, it's very sad.
So he animated his own.
Yes. I like Bloomberg. He's the financially responsible candidate. Eugene. So you listened to it growing up. This was a go-to, maybe a staple.
A lot. It was like every night going to bed. It was for a long time.
Aww.
Yeah,
same. Our friend
measured road trips and like how many tapes it was going to be before, which I think was like a among the Odyssey fandom is a pretty regular thing. But yeah, I listened to a lot of Adventures in Odyssey.
Yes, and they were the albums of tapes. It was not. Mm-hmm. Well, I got a few, maybe like one or two at the end of like the CD albums, but those sucked because if you stopped playing it in the middle, it wouldn't resume back where it was like you could on cassette.
That, yeah,
so even after CD technology existed for years, we would just buy the cassettes. Like
keep going for the cassette tapes.
Right.
Which you could get at Chick-fil-A, an early, remember that? That was before Chick-fil-A was even, I think it was just like in like malls at that point, but they did there was a lot of Focus on the Family tie-ins, and that's where I got a lot of my early Odyssey apparel gear.
Yeah, there were a lot of like little tie-ins in the Happy Meal. Oh, I don't think I told you, Tyler, but since last we had you on, I did visit Wits End In Colorado Springs.
Oh, Colorado. In Colorado Springs, yeah. Yes. I haven't been there in a long time, but I'm familiar with it. It's quite a... What a place.
It's wild. There's like, you know, abortion exhibits with like fetuses of different sizes and then like monuments to James Dobson. A pretty hefty bookstore. The Odyssey part of the exhibit was pretty impressive. Like, I didn't end up getting any of the ice cream or anything like that, but...
That really pisses me off.
I've had ice cream at Wits End there. I had it.
At the I remember
Colorado Springs one? Getting a little soft serve. Yeah, ooh, yeah, I got a little soft serve from Wits End. Nice. And I remember it, so that must have been, it couldn't have been that bad. But it's kind of hard to mess up.
Well, on Caroline and mine's bucket list, as soon as this whole quarantine nonsense lets up, is that the first trip we're taking is back to Colorado Springs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you asked me my post-COVID fantasy, and that was really high on the list, was to go to Colorado Springs with you.
Number one with
and
the
get ice cream.
Hey, you don't have to say with you so derisively. You just say Colorado Springs as if that's what's funnily not appealing, yeah, not me.
You.
You have to, because I do remember, and I wish I remember how old, but I probably was not yet 10 years old when I went to this Wits End, Focus on the Family thing. Mm-hmm. But I do remember because in Adventures in Odyssey, Wits End has the Imagination Station, right? Which I'm sure as longtime fans know is a time machine. Mr. Whitaker has a time machine.
A real time machine.
Figured it out.
That he uses only to teach children lessons and not to do anything awesome.
Nothing constructive. Yeah.
To his credit, he gives away for free. He could charge people a lot, I think, to use his time machine, but it seems to always be on the house. He's a Marxist icon, and I appreciate the early radicalization that I got, however unintentionally, from Mr. Whitaker in that regard.
Mr. Whitaker was a burning
I've thought about this, unsurprisingly. I don't think Mr. Whitaker was a Bernie bro. I think Eugene probably was. Eugene just has that Bernie vibe to him.
Oh, I get a total like bow tie young Republican vibe from Eugene.
Really?
Slanderous.
I don't agree.
Maybe I don't know him as well, though. That's true. I haven't listened to the whole thing, so maybe his personality would come out, but my initial read is, you know, he loves logic. So
yeah.
I mean, I guess he could have kind of a libertarian thing, but I feel like he'd be one of those like really well read, well studied, but very
That's
insufferable
true.
Bernie bro.
True.
I don't mean this.
He's studying philosophy and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and it would be like you'd kind of be like, oh yeah. I mean, I don't mind the guy. He's got some interesting ideas, and then he'd take that as a total slight and be like, all right, ideas. He'd have a big word about
Miss Kendall, Miss Kendall, you don't understand. His tax plan would work.
That was my first ship before I didn't have a word for it. But the Connie Eugene thing, I was like, they're meant
oh
to
my
be,
gosh.
And it didn't happen.
No, that was a heartbreak, wasn't it? That thing
so weird. Yeah, really.
Or yeah, got together, excuse me.
Who did Connie end up with?
Some loser.
Anybody?
Unfortunately. Now, behind me on the virtual screen.
Ooh,
this is
hello.
This is some Katrina, hot Katrina, hot Eugene.
Oh, that's Katrina.
Fan
yeah,
art.
Okay. Oh,
you know
shirts.
The existence of this art, right, Tyler?
This is not my first time seeing it.
Yes,
sure. This is fun. It's my background.
Yeah.
It's my desktop background.
Hey, look, here I am in Odyssey right now.
High above. There was like I feel like there was some early Mr. Whitaker art that came on the CD cut. He had kind of a farmer vibe. He was thin. He had flannels. And then at some point they got a new artist or something, and they turned him in. They made him pretty thick.
Yeah, they made Whit dummy thick when they got the new. Yeah, because the original albums. Yeah, he was a thin.
Like back in the 80s.
He was lean. He was like.
Yeah.
He looked
something
like
happened.
Ian McKellen like, or like a. Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Something then, happened like 91, 92.
Kind of like
and he became
Santa daddy.
Like Logan Roy. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the time it was all done, it was, I don't know. And it was, nobody seemed worried about it. So I guess he just decided, you know, I'm old. I run an ice cream emporium and I don't care anymore.
Yeah, he will himself go. Yeah. I actually found a picture of old thick Mr. Whitaker right here. You can check him out. Can you imagine Brian Cox starring in the Mr. Whitaker story?
I would like to see his soft side.
That would be incredible. Okay, well, we listened to some episode, a three-parter, a little whodunit, a bit of a procedural kind of standalone saga called The Perfect Witness, Parts 1, 2, and 3. They first aired in 1995 and don't really feature anyone in the main cast except for Eugene and Katrina. And it's all about a little robbery gone wrong and then piecing together the clues based on the testimony of young Jenny, who is a blind girl.
And is Jenny like a familiar character, or is she new for this episode?
No, I mean, she might have recurred in a few.
I wondered that too.
We can always check the AIO wiki. They'll never lead you astray. I think she was in at least one other episode before this.
Odyssey, a surprisingly high crime town for how, I don't think we know much about that, but there's a lot of episodes feature like kidnapping.
Oh yeah,
robbery. Children died with a uncomfortable amount of regularity.
Children
on this
died
show.
In the show.
Like, I remember a kid drowned on the show.
Well, Timmy
cancer. Yeah.
Tom Riley's kid.
We lost one to sickness, and Timmy. That was like a lot of tragedy there. Mr. Whitaker's a widower.
True.
It just seemed like for a town the size of Odyssey, which I'm total. I don't think we ever got exact pop numbers on
300
Odyssey.
People.
But there's a tremendous amount of intellectual property, it seems, that people want to get their hands on. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. She's in 12 episodes. Jenny Roberts. She was in like seven before The Perfect Witness. But yeah, this is what would happen is it's kind of a dazed and confused situation on Odyssey where like all the old white men keep getting older, but the children stay the same age. They would like cycle out of children. So there'd be Jenny Roberts, and then there'd be the Barclays, and then there'd be this family and that family. And then when those kid actors grow up and they can't do the voices anymore, they would like cycle out of them, and then a new family moves into town.
Oh, interesting.
And very rarely did they like actually let them, especially in the later years, age into teenage dumb or adulthood.
They had Jimmy, I think, Jimmy's voice changed, and they kept him around to like explain. And I think there was even an episode about like puberty and
how Jimmy's awkward.
There should be an episode about puberty. Yeah.
Yeah. Caroline, what'd you think of this episode as a new listener of the show?
Really enjoyed it. I thought it was so good. I was listening to it while I was working on my bike this morning, and
Your hog.
I was like really into it, and yeah, my hog, and I was like really thinking about who was doing it. I was all into the mystery. I was writing down my theories as we were going along. I keep forgetting it's like a children's show until like the moments where I realized like these are the nicest kidnappers and robbers you've ever had. Like they are so gentle,
so sweet.
They do not cuss.
We're not going to hurt you. We're not going to use any coarse language.
Yeah.
We're going to hold your hand, and we're not. We're real sorry about this happening.
We're keep reassuring you it's going to be okay. Yeah.
Not a given
like
that focus on the family would like make keep the bad guys human, like humanizing this. They could have done a lot of, this could have gone awry.
Sure.
Yeah.
But then I remembered
they can't have kids like actually get super scared about getting kidnapped and getting like, you know, their fingers cut off and stuff. So like go slow.
Well, there was a note attached to, I believe, the album version that says this three-part mystery includes an armed robbery and kidnapping, which are played and replayed throughout all three parts. No one gets hurt in the episodes. They may be too intense for younger listeners, though. So
yeah,
they
scary.
Warned us. They warned us. They knew. But like,
can you imagine the letters Adventures in Odyssey producers must have gotten all the time from people who found, like, I imagine the folks in the family crowd must have found objectionable content.
Absolutely. I'm sure they were always like, Connie's way too immodest. You're like, how?
I don't like what it sounded like Connie was wearing.
She has a low cut shirt. I can hear it.
She sounds a little too free and breezy. I want to hear that.
I can hear Eugene's ass cheeks clapping.
I want to hear that top button of Connie Kendall's shirt snapping into place.
Strangling.
Fascinating. That would be, I love modesty complaints on a radio show. But yeah, this was like my favorite kind of, I found that historically Odyssey did the like whodunit in the mystery sort of episodes pretty well. Like They're very satisfying to listen to. Like the secret, was it the case of the hidden room or the secret room, like 10 years before this one? Like they knew how to structure this stuff. And it's basic, just like procedural stuff. But I don't know. Like there's something special about like the fact too that it's not particularly Christian, except for Katrina's like, I'm going to pray about it, I guess.
That's always in these shows, too. I always like kind of like, oh, yeah, I guess, by the way, don't forget about the Bible. It helps.
You kind of get the impression that Paul McCusker was like auditioning for Law and Order with some of these. Yeah. Like he wanted to be a crime writer and this was his only chance. So this was just his shot across, like just shoot a flare of gun from Focus on the Family HQ up. Like, if anyone out there is hiring... Just radio saying. Drama writers.
Candy? Yeah, it is like it's like a perverted, like he rubbed the genie's lamp and the genie granted him 3 wishes, but he wasn't specific enough. Where it's like, I want to be a crime writer and have my stories heard by millions of people. And he's like, okay, but it's going to be on a G-rated Christian radio.
The monkey paw curls back.
I would say, yeah, it was a pretty good mystery. Like there were a good amount of misdirects and like a lot of suspects that you could point to and everything. It was cool. And I thought it was really smart to make the kind of witness a blind girl, because we're also blind too, and so we could like figure things out as well as she could, you know, by listening in on what was going on. Like that was really cool that like kids listening along could feel as important as Jenny was in figuring out the mystery, you know.
Yeah, that stuff I think is just like so special to radio stuff and audio medium. It's such an empathy generator in that sense. And this is one of those episodes that's like burned into my mind from being a kid. There's certain lines that I could recall, just like you can recall like verses of music or like lines from a song. One of them was Eugene and Katrina at the same time going in an envelope when they like figured out what the report was supposed to do.
The envelope line.
Although I do love that this is still, you know, like as inoffensive as it basically is, there is still a little bit of focus on the family flavor of the eventual answer to the mystery is that academia has gone too far.
Yes! I know, I was getting too, like, distrust of the professor trying to get tenure.
So far. Tenure
is
actually
which
evil.
Which is not... Which is a regular theme. This is not related to this particular episode, but just a few months ago, I was on a long drive and I was flipping to the radio stations and Odyssey is on. And this must be an episode after my time because I did not remember it at all. But a little girl who works for her student, reporter for the student newspaper, writes an article about Big Pharma in Odyssey and how they're defrauding.
What?
She takes on the drug industry, and Mr. Whitaker kind of cautions her against it because she doesn't have all the facts yet, but she jumps the gun before she has all of her sources, and then it turns out she was wrong. She got it wrong, and the Big Pharma execs are actually really nice and just want to help people. And
Oh my god!
By these my fake insurance people are trying to get on the insurance, and I was like, who is writing this, and what is your? I don't think this is your audience. It was a lesson about the fake news media and how they don't. It felt like somebody just had like their own thing they were working through and decided to do it via Adventures.
I'm confused
now
if like hating Big Pharma is more of a liberal position or a conservative position at this point with all the like anti-vaxxing as well, you know?
I think
like,
it depends on the pharma.
Are we all joining hands on that and hating Big Pharma?
Handshake emoji. I think it's, well, I think acknowledging any flaw in healthcare is a slippery slope to like,
like
socialized medicine and now we don't we only have one kind of soup. I think it's part of that where it's like I'm fine, so I think healthcare is fine for the rest of the world. So if you criticize Big Pharma or like lobbyists or the medical industry or the industrialized complex, it like I think it goes to that.
This reminded me of something else in the episode that I thought the report that Eugene did on the educational system was also gonna be like like public schools are teaching kids that God is a monkey and whatever.
I love it.
I was really ready for that. And then it was like, oh, a misdirect there as well. Touche.
I know. I would love
I'm sure they got into evolution. I got an evolution on Odyssey, but I don't remember the anti-evolution episode. Maybe that just felt like too hot for
I
even.
I can't remember either.
For even touch. Mr. Wicker to touch.
Well, the only stuff that felt iffy to me, even growing up, was like when they would get in the time machine and go back, and it would be like the Lily whitewashed historical fiction.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the pilgrims were just chill, and like them, the Indians were hugging, and blah blah blah. Like
the Indians were aggressive for no reason.
Yeah,
and we were like, whoa,
out of nowhere. We just show up.
So that's up. But I think,
children.
But it did get more. I think it's gotten more conservative with age, as most white men do.
Yes.
suppose, unfortunately, like there is the big anti-gay marriage arc from a couple years back. That
I didn't know that. I slept on that one.
I would love. What if I just did a Google search of like top 10 most political adventures in Odyssey? Oh wait,
someone's got to write that relevant article, Kevin. And I think
they did. It's written by John Foreman.
He was transitioning careers.
There's an Easter. By the end, it gets to Easter. You know, you hook them in.
Right. I love
the current event.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that so much. I mean, there's like, now I'm remembering there was a long arc about the Underground Railroad back in the 90s, mm-hmm. and now I am scared to revisit that.
Oh my God.
Like, actually, the Underground Railroad was bad. Like, what can you imagine?
The thing is, you should comply with the police, you know, and they shouldn't have gone against the law like that.
Unless it's taxes.
Unless it's taxes.
I do remember one that was very effective for me, like that at the time, and I felt for a long time I was really embarrassed about how much I believed this was an accurate representation of this, and I believe you all have discussed this episode, is the Dungeons and Dragons
Castles and Cauldrons,
CNC, in which of course they play like an actual demon manifest.
Yeah, did that freak you out as a kid?
It freaked me out, and it also made me like, well, I'm not playing D&D. What in that? These people have a death wish who are play Dungeons and Dragons. And I don't know when I finally realized, like, yeah, that's not really how Dungeons and Dragons works. But it was later than it should have been. Like, it was, I had already, like, that was one of the last things I sort of disassociate from it.
Did you catch yourself?
By the time it happened,
like,
I was like, oh, yeah, well, of course they're not summoning monsters.
That is kind of the funniest, like, Christians playing themselves with confusing like a very dorky pastime, like putting in the same thing as like witchcraft, you know, and like Satanists and
which,
everything.
If you remember that episode, Caroline, that's where we find out that Mr. Whitaker is a witch, because he's like force sensitive and he can feel the dark spirits.
Yeah, he's like something dark is here.
Coming. He's like, damn, I don't think the game is the issue, my man. Gracious. So yeah, really effective storytelling in this, and yeah, just like the use of Foley, and two, I'm still impressed with this even as an adult man, just like being able to put a listener in time and place in a particular geographic space with like not that clunky of expositional dialogue of like,
really?
you hear the bookstore bell and you hear Mr. Holstein and all this stuff. The whole scene.
Yeah, that's all it takes. You're like, oh yeah, I know who.
Is the Holstein stuff offensive at all? The German stuff?
Oh, I know. I was like, I don't know if we're getting too pro-German in this episode. I'm a little uncomfortable with that.
Oh my God.
I noticed it, but I couldn't figure out. I'm not an expert.
That would be amazing if there was a Jewish character in the series too, that they're like, yeah, you know, our Jew friend.
He's not saved. I think there have
That'd
been
be cool.
Jewish characters at some point.
Oh,
again,
really? Okay.
Give it a Google search.
Very cool.
Yeah. They've done it.
Eugene obviously was not a Christian for a long time.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They just kind of let that be for quite
for
a while.
Years.
I mean, it happened. That was the really will they, won't they of the show.
Is
will Eugene ever just like
around?
Succumb
Eugene
to peer
and
pressure?
And, Eugene is Ross and God is Rachel. And at the end, he got off the plane. But yeah, I did want to play the end where the our announcer Chris does like try to kind of tie it up together in terms of the virtue, because this was like the funniest little stretch. I guess it makes sense. One of the discussion questions is like, have you ever judged something wrong by the appearance of blah blah blah? And that's one of the ones in the album, but I'll play this ending for us.
Suppose I should go home now. It's been very nice getting to know all of you, particularly you, Jenny. I meant what I said about you being a perfect witness.
Thank you.
Detective, if you ever want a job in a small town, think of us.
I will. You know, there's only one thing I'm disappointed about.
What's that?
I was told I couldn't come to Odyssey without having ice cream at a place called Wits End. You haven't heard of it, have you?
Wits End? sounds familiar.
Yes, where have I heard that name?
Imagine being here all this time and not knowing...
Stop it, you guys. Detective Ethan?
Yes, Jenny.
Why don't you take my hand and we'll walk there, together?
I'd love to.
You gotta go, kid.
Throughout the Bible, we're told that it's not who we are on the outside, but who we are on the inside that counts. God said it to the prophet Samuel right before Samuel met King David. Take a look at 1 Samuel 16:7. God said, "The Lord does not see as man sees. Men see only outward appearances, but God sees into the heart." Jesus said the same in Mark chapter 7 when he reminded the Pharisees that it's not what's on the outside that defiles people, but what's on the inside. And the Apostle Paul echoes that thinking in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when he instructed the Christians that their bodies were only temporary houses, and that they should not judge each other by outward appearances. Like Detective Ethan noted at the very end of our adventure, the thieves thought that, well, since Jenny was blind, she couldn't help the police. Dr. Marcus was certain that because he was well-known and had a good reputation, he could steal Eugene's work and mastermind the robbery without anyone suspecting him. Our villains were wrong, of course, and we should be careful not to make the same mistake when we look at people around us. Just because they seem to be popular or intelligent, like Dr. Marcus, or even seem to have a handicap, like Jenny, we need to realize that those are only outside appearances and may not reflect who those people are on the inside. That's an important lesson to remember. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of...
All right.
I'm giggling. I love the idea of like...
What?
That going both ways of just like actively distrust all the people you like because you never know.
Also, the implication here seems to be that if you're going to take a hostage, don't assume just because she's blind that
Make
she can't
sure
get she won't
blind.
Rat you out to the law.
Don't make the same mistakes that these criminals and felons made. That's the one way in which they're not
right.
an example to you.
They misjudged your outward appearance, you know. They should have chosen a different kid.
You gotta threaten their families. They can't tell a soul.
Get to know your hostages before you
when
take
you
them.
Pick a hostage, make sure it's one that can't ID you at all. Cut off their fingers and toes and maybe blindfold them and gag them as well as put earmuffs over their little
ears. And plug
ears.
Those ears.
God sent the armies of Israel into Jericho. He said kill everyone.
Yeah, not just some. Leave no witnesses behind. Leave
scorched
no...
Scorched earth policy.
Oh my God, very funny.
Don't half-ass your robbery.
Good grief. All right, well, you know what, gang? I think maybe it's time that we rate the episode. The way this works, Tyler, is we give it a holy toast, a holy roast, or a space between. Holy toast. That's a thumbs up. We send this adventure in Odyssey to heaven, where the first three John Avery Whitakers are. Holy roast, that's where we send it to hell, i.e. Eugene Meltzner's eventual home. Or not now, because he had a change of heart. Or purgatory, that's of course sending it to...
The space between.
And we'll start with Caroline.
Oh, holy toast, 100%. I really enjoyed it. It was very fun. We didn't even talk about Detective Ethan, but I thought she was great.
Oh, yeah,
and
she's
I loved
hot.
That it was like, she's a chick. Yeah. That was really cool.
The Ethan?
That was great. And she was like really good at getting this done. I love like a capable detective, you know, like schooling the little towny cops and everything. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was delightful. I loved it. And yeah, again, I love that turn of... we are just as impaired as Jenny in the way of figuring out the crime so we can all work together. That's
hey,
great.
What a nice message. We turn it to Tyler.
Oh, yeah. Holy toast. Absolutely. I thought this was, it's weird how the production value, like there's no reason that Focus on the Family should have had a radio drama for little kids.
Incredible.
About Bible lessons that actually makes for pretty like high quality entertainment. They clearly didn't really know, I don't think, what they had, or and the talent they got on board was it was overstocked with people who really knew what they were doing when it comes to creating something like this. And I would say the messages of the episodes are, let's say, hit and miss, but the actual drama of a lot of them, a lot of the stories, especially when they kind of veer outside of the lesson of the week stuff into more procedurals like this, actually hold up pretty, they hold up pretty well.
Hell yeah. All right, I'm giving a holy toast too, a unanimous holy toast from the Good Christian Fun podcast. Folks, if you got kids at home, I do recommend Adventures in Odyssey if you want good, clean entertainment. Just weed out like the awful ones. Like, just like read an episode guide. You'll be able to figure it out. But most of them are like very entertaining. They'll stimulate your kids' minds and create the theater of the mind that'll help them with their imagination for decades to come.
And set them up for a great listening experience on GCF when they turn 18.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you let we did have a 14-year-old write in that listens to the show, and I felt bad about it.
Yeah. I had to take a look at myself hard in the mirror that day.
That's right. But we're not the final word. Go to Christian Fun Pod. You can even a roast or toast or a space between. Get out there and
Pokemon go to the polls.
Ballers.
You get sadder and sadder every year.
Someone said to put something that Joe Biden did at the end of that.
Oh,
something about
one.
Crackers?
Cracklins.
Where do you start?
Yeah. Oh, he was doing his Cracklins character with Lauren Daigle on an Instagram Live.
Oh, no. I don't want to hear it.
All right. Well, now I got a little fun game for us if we want to play it. We're debuting on the podcast, and maybe it's a game we can repeat, maybe not. But for now, we're going to play a little game that we're calling the GCF Quarantine House Challenge.
To my father's house, it's a big house, and that's a lot of soul. Oh my God.
All right.
His town just went through a tornado, and you're going to play that siren like
I'm sorry, man.
I'm fine. I'm fine.
He's not triggered.
Shaking.
See, he's not a triggered little snowflake, Caroline.
He is not going to give in to fear.
Yeah, don't give in to fear of tornadoes and prepare for them, Tyler.
I'm so intrigued. I hope this game is what I think it is.
It is what you think it is.
I have a guess. All right, I have a guess.
So there's a meme that's been going around on Twitter and Instagram from certain accounts with certain themes called Choose Your Quarantine House. That's when you get a list of people in different houses. And you have to choose which house that you choose to be quarantined in for the duration of however long we're going to be here. So A24 did a list, and it was like, you know, some of their main characters from their movies. The Succession Without Context account did it with all the different characters and side characters of Succession. And we're going to do it with the characters from the Good Christian Fun podcast, of which there's many. I've prepared a few houses for us to choose from. I'm going to list them one by one, and then actually, just so you guys have them as a reference, I will text them to you in our chat window so you can look at them on paper as well.
Okay.
So, all right, Here's the first house. I will list them and then send them to you. And then by the end of it, we have to figure out which house that we would want to be quarantined with. House number one, each of them has at least four occupants, plus you, who if you choose to be with them. House number one, Lauren Daigle. Salty, Stephen Curtis Chapman,
ooh,
and Hot Moses from Prince of Egypt.
Okay, I mean, you really stacked the deck on the first one there for me, Kevin.
Yeah.
Well, you would
no misses.
The thing is,
no misses.
I mean, the whole challenge of this for me is to try to make it balanced.
The best one?
No. It's to make them all equally attractive in different ways so that it is actually...
There's no real fly in the ointment in this one yet, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm thinking he thinks Salty is a fly in the ointment for us, but he hasn't seen Salty from behind.
May not surprise you to know
from
this
behind?
Is the second Salty...
What? Ew. What the hell?
See those pages. I'm okay. But, well, now I'm realizing there's a house with Amy Grant in it somewhere, surely. So this will make it tough on me. Okay.
And that's going to be the house with the weed, so.
That's for sure.
That's true. Hey, y'all.
Stephen Curtis Chapman is a no-drug household, for sure.
House number two. Mr. Whitaker. Kirk Franklin. Mm. Shonda Pierce. And two-thirds of Point of Grace.
Two-thirds?
Yeah, which the other two-thirds? One's busy.
Okay.
Oh. Whichever two-thirds you pick. So in this one, like, I don't know how Kirk and Shonda are vibing with each other, mm-hmm. particularly if they're going to get along and maybe Kirk is like a little more.
Shonda Pierce. Sorry, I forgot who that was for a second. It's coming back. The stand-up we did. Yes.
I can't not love Mr. Whitaker. And obviously we have the same politics, you know. So that's good. So that's gonna
as
low on drama.
Twitter.
Agreed there. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and then Point of Grace, it just makes you wonder what happened to the other one.
Yeah.
Where did she go?
Yeah, and the other two won't talk about it.
She got it.
Unfortunately, I think she does have it. Okay, house number three.
She got it.
House number three: Matt Thiessen, Jackie Velasquez, John Foreman, and Kirk Cameron.
My friend.
Your friend, your colleague.
Now,
and Kirk Cameron, I mean, Kirk Cameron is such a strong force in whatever household he's in.
This one does have a fly in the ointment because I don't know. I mean, other than we know that I know John. Right. I don't know Matt Thiessen or Jackie Velasquez.
You don't know them that well.
I know who they are. You know I don't know what they'd be like to quarantine with.
I would assume
Matt Thiessen lives here in Nashville. I've heard various stories, but I don't know what they would mean for quarantine life. No,
neutral,
not on this
stories,
podcast.
Good stories, bad stories.
All over the map.
So far, I think house number
peaks and valleys.
I think house number three out of the houses so far is the most likely to be a majority anti-vax culture.
Right, but Katy Perry might visit.
I don't know if she will.
Okay,
that's a different. She can't. It's quarantine.
House number four. Is Jennifer Knapp, Larry the Cucumber.
Oh, come on. That's not fair.
Carmen.
Jesus Christ, Kevin.
And Gerbert.
Come on. Okay. You didn't want to let it be easy for me. You didn't want to make it easy.
No, it can't be an easy pick. That's the whole game of it.
Oh, man.
So, because you want to hang with Jennifer Knapp.
Jennifer Knapp.
Jennifer Knapp is amazing. It's Larry.
Incredible.
That I'm showing
incredibly
up to
good.
The doorstep for.
Yeah.
10 out of 10 hang. Larry the Cucumber. He's gonna be the nine of the group and the peacemaker.
Yeah, he's going to be working real hard.
But then you have Gerbert.
Then you got Carmen.
Carmen is problematic in every sense of the word. Gerbert's a wild card because we don't know what he's like now. Truly. Like
what the years have done.
I thought Gerbert
to him.
Had passed from COVID.
Well, this is imagining a scenario.
Oh, this
which,
is like a fanciful.
Yeah, Tyler, we established on the podcast a few weeks ago that Gerbert passed away of COVID-19. But this,
no service either.
What a loss!
Yeah, okay. Just like a rainy day, lone burial. No one was there.
Yeah, no one could come.
Nobody even knows yet. Yeah.
No, the donut man had a very moving eulogy on Zoom, but otherwise nothing. That's house number four.
Is the Donut Man going to be in house five? Are we going to... Well, I won't
How many
spoil.
Houses are there?
No spoilers.
There's eight houses total.
Oh, my God. Okay,
we gotta
great.
Get,
all right,
keep
going. Let's move along.
Okay, house number five. Kevin Max. Amy Grant.
Got the snacks. Ooh.
Kanye West.
Oh, come on.
And Mark Lowry. Christian stand-up Mark Lowry.
Oh, my God.
That's a tough one. I think Amy and Kevin would both be pretty decent hangs. Mark and Kanye, I don't know.
Mark Lowry is out licking light poles right now for sure.
For the lulz.
Kanye,
for the lulz.
Here's my controversial take. I think Kanye would revert to like a childlike nature. And if you like got him in front of a Nintendo Switch and wanted to play Mario Kart with him, he'd be okay.
Yeah.
Like if he's not in work mode, then
he's pretty chill.
He might be okay.
I mean, I've watched a lot of Kardashians in my time, and I'll say that, behind the scenes, for the most part, he's a normal dude that just makes kind of odd remarks, you know, but he's just kind of like hanging out. No one seems like to be weirded out by him.
No. House number
That's
six.
That's probably true.
House number six is Christian comedian Brad Stein from Christmas with a capital C.
Oh my God.
Colby the Christian robot.
Okay.
Michael W. Smith.
Okay.
And Rebecca St. James.
Oh, wow. I'm curious. I really feel like Rebecca and Michael. I don't know. They might.
Oh, you think that's going to.
Yeah. They're in a house for a long time together. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I mean, consider this. Neither Corny of their spouses main. Are in house six. Where did they go?
We don't know what happened. Anybody's spouses in these houses.
I think most of these people are married in theory.
I think all of them
Salty,
are.
Salty is married, we know.
Hot Moses is not, just for the sake of the argument.
Oh, Larry's okay. single. Gerbert's a child. Mark Lowry is truly not married.
Wait, is Larry a child?
Isn't
I'm
he?
I'm kind of worried he might be.
He's
I don't
childlike.
Know.
Childlike.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, ugh.
He reads as a boy to me.
I shouldn't be attracted to Larry. That's not right.
You wake up 2 a.m. in the morning, covered in sweat. I shouldn't be attracted to Larry.
Weirdly, House 4 has the most sexual energy so far.
Big time.
By far.
Jennifer Navarro, Larry, and Carmen.
And Carmen, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Dripping.
Okay, we'll wrap it up. House number 7, Stacey Orico.
Mm-hmm.
McGee. Michael Tate. And the entirety of the power team.
The whole power team? Oh my God.
And it's a two bedroom.
I gotta change my sexual energy comment.
It's a two bedroom, so
wow.
Keep that in mind.
I like that you've put like a Kevin in every house.
What do you mean a Kevin? You know?
There's like a puppet or an animated character in just about every house.
Is the Kevin in House 7 McGee?
Yeah.
Wait, what's the Kevin in 6? Colby? I'm a robot to you?
Colby, yeah, for sure.
Oh.
Salty.
All right.
Colby like roller skates around. Uber, he's not, he's a robot, only technically. He's like a, he's
John Foreman.
John Foreman? Are you kidding me? It's in her mind. She can't believe it.
Wait, what was House 8? Did you send that?
House 8 is not the yet. Final house. Here
oh,
we
okay.
go.
Oh, okay.
Last house. House number 8, Reba, Goofy,
what?
Young Sheldon,
Kevin,
and Jesus Christ.
Kevin, you went real off the rails on that last one.
I don't know how you mean.
Goofy is Jewish. And young Sheldon, I don't know what he is.
He's atheist for
he's
sure.
He's a skeptic.
Yeah,
he's in it. I think they've been.
Yeah, he's
I think that's
even canon. Atheist.
Yeah, there's literally an episode. I'm not kidding. There's literally an episode
oh, really?
Of young Sheldon.
There's an episode
where there's a tornado and he talks about how he doesn't believe in God.
Because I think his mother does. His mother's a believer.
Yeah.
Oh my
a
gosh.
Saint. She's on the God train, and Sheldon kind of we're gonna have to agree to disagree on this.
Man,
one.
That would be so fun to hang out with Goofy and Reba.
But you got young Sheldon being like, "Would a good God allow suffering?"
I think we could all work together to kind of like put him in a room and lock it.
Also,
well, once he's in the same house as Jesus,
yeah. There's also
how long can you keep
sure,
it? No atheists in foxholes. Right?
The Jesus
yeah, that's
factor
true.
Of it all.
No atheists in foxholes.
So Tyler, I mean, look at these houses. Don't make a rash decision. But which way are you leaning towards, bud?
I'm wavering between. I'll tell you, I'm wavering between House 5, which is Amy Grant, Kevin Max,
really?
Mark Lowry, and Kanye, and House 2. With Kirk, Shonda Pierce, Point of Grace, and Mr. Whitaker. I think House 2 would be the least amount of drama. Like, I think everybody would mostly just kind of mind their own business.
Yeah, I would say, like, House 2 is where you're going to get, like, roommate vibes, you know? Like, everyone's in there.
Like, Mr. Whitaker owns an ice cream shop, so I assume he can cook. So we've got food. I mean, at least we can eat ice cream.
Yeah, yeah. No,
if he can bring his...
He can cook some ice cream up.
And the Point of Grace women, I think, just, you know, good... good mom vibes, good good energy. Mm-hmm. What happened to the third one? I don't know or care.
Don't care.
Yeah,
we got the ones we had.
Yeah, as Point of Grace, no questions, they'll tell you no lies. It's kind of that situation.
And then House 5, Amy Grant and Kevin Max. I like both of these people. They're childhood heroes. Mark Lowry, I think, is like confirmed to be kind of like trouble on Twitter. Like he gets kind of like weirdly mean sometimes on Twitter. Like when people, I think he searches for his name. And if somebody said something mean about one of his old songs, he responds in an aggressive way. But with Kanye around there, I think that cancels it out because he's not going to do anything. Everybody else is just going to leave Kanye alone.
Yeah, you can't be a bigger personality than Kanye.
Exactly.
Yeah, Mark Lowry's the king of a very small kingdom compared to Mr. West.
Growing smaller all the time.
Yeah, unfortunately. Hate to see it. Okay, so, all right, House 2 or House 5? Okay, if you have to pick one, which is it? 2 or 5? But
I am going to go House 2.
House 2.
Talking through
okay,
it.
Okay, Caroline.
Wow, I'm shocked. Okay. You made a strong case for House 5. Man, Mark Lowry, that'd be rough. But I feel like me and Amy would be like fast friends right away. Yeah. That would be done.
Here comes
and then Kanye, I think we would actually start to get along with, you know, the more we kind of got to know each other and you got used to each other and everything.
I think you can reach Kanye. I really do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And like... we would just not talk politics in the house. Like, we just won't go there. Me and Amy will be like, yeah, we're not going to do that.
Mm-mm.
Now, House 1, I'm also very interested in because...
Now that I'm looking at it... All right, make your case.
House 1, right? Like, here's the thing. I get along with Daigles in real life. Like, I get along with gals like that. And I think
Daigles.
We would be, like, pals, you know? like, I think she... We'd kind of vibe with each other, and I do enjoy her singing. I would like to like hear her and Steven like jam together. Can you imagine that?
On the guitar?
Yeah. And then Salty, we would all work together to just like infect early on, so he's just kind of out of the question.
You would infect him on purpose?
You're gonna
I do not need to hear him harmonize with Daigle and Kit Chapman. Like
bio warfare against
not.
Salty the singing song.
Oh my
song.
Gosh.
Wow.
And then, I mean, Hot Moses, you know what we're going to be up to. So that'll keep me busy as well.
Oh.
Hey, don't give me an oh. You put him on there.
He's an animated character.
You specified hot.
Yeah, that's fair. I did. Well, for me personally.
I think House 1, yeah.
I mean, I'm the one who had to bounce this to begin with, so I'm a little biased. But
yeah.
In the course of this conversation, I got to keep the title of what Tyler called us at the beginning, the Horniest Christian Podcast. I'm going House 1 because I believe me and Daigle.
Oh.
Really?
Oh, man.
What? Aren't you rooting for us?
There's not enough room for... Yeah, I guess so.
I can change her.
You can make her happy.
It could,
she already is happy.
No, but
you probably make
you wanna,
her sad.
What do you want to change about her?
The cultural appropriation, mostly.
Well, yeah, that's not great. But that's kind of already changed on its own. I feel like that's like slow, like without nobody yet brought it up, it just sort of stopped happening a little bit.
Oh, I hope so.
In recent months.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. But I'm wondering, but then, you know, Parmy's
oh
just,
my God, you could produce Daigle Bites and make it like... really freaking good and you'd probably become the co-host. Like I'm Kevin, you know, Bagel or whatever.
I'm Kevin Bagel. And then it becomes the podcast.
You'd be
becomes,
like, I'm the cream cheese and she's the Daigle.
Then I'm gonna spread Caroline. No.
Creatively.
Okay.
And then
so
you
all are both in House 1. Without me.
What are you going to do with Moses? Seems like, that's just, like, wasted on you.
What do you mean?
Well,
I like being around hot guys.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
You don't need him.
Yeah, he seems like a good dude.
I want everyone in my life to be hot, not just...
Exactly.
Not just the gender I'm attracted to.
His staff doesn't have to be parting my C's for me to think he's a nice dude.
Okay! Come on.
My C's.
Oh, we are ugly. Yeah, House 1. I mean, because the other one is, like... Maybe House 4, because I feel like unfortunately Gerben and I would get along. And then
and
like
House
4 is
that?
Tempting. I just can't do Carmen. man.
Carmen would be
Carmen,
like,
what do you awful. Do with Carmen? You know?
That would be, although he wouldn't stay. That'd be the
that's
thing.
A, he'd go. Well, no, that's the thing.
Oh, you think he'd bolt.
No, but you would have to convince him every day to stay because he's like, yeah. I'm going to go to the park and like play on the monkey
I'm
bus
go
and
bowling.
Come back. And we're like, no. So every day would be like another new battle to like but get him to
friends.
Stay.
Yeah.
Like,
you
Carmen,
want that job?
Only one of us needs to go to the grocery store, buddy. It's like, I'll go. You can go 2 weeks from now, but like, yeah, so that would be tough. And then
in my heart, I believe Jennifer Knapp would shut him down. Like,
yeah.
she would be a force to be reckoned with.
Totally, the diplomat.
Wherever you are, Jennifer, whatever you're doing, I believe that she's running a tight ship
yeah.
with
Absolutely.
Her self-isolation guidelines.
Yeah. A little more than she can give. Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, this has been the GCF Quarantine House Challenge.
Well done, Kevin.
All right.
The siren is like aggressively, you're like on month 6 of pandemic season.
I'm skipping
like
ahead.
War for the Planet of the Sirens. Apes.
We all know how this ends, but all right, now it's time to dim the lights and light the candles. And Tyler, on other shows you may promote yourself or promote your social media, your projects, but we're not here to do that. We're here to lift them up to the Lord. And we start with Caroline as per usual.
You can lift me up to the Lord at Caroline's Farts, and I would like to lift up something. Oh, Portrait of a Lady on Fire on Hulu. I think Kevin had recommended that before. Beautiful. Great film.
It's the best.
Very good. Yeah, very peaceful. I don't think you'll think about coronavirus once.
Well, you'll think about it really once, actually.
Maybe once.
Because you'll
wait when.
They got the little mask on the beach that they wear.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, a stylish way to rock your coronavirus look. And I guess they all kind of are quarantining in the house in a way.
Yeah.
But,
so actually,
yeah,
it's a completely quarantine movie.
It's going to, yeah, you're only going to think about it. They do talk about Italy. Crap.
That was the second to last movie I ever saw in a movie theater.
Yeah. And then Emma. What a great final two to go out
1-2 punch, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Big-eyed ladies with costumes on.
We love the big old ladies in the dresses.
All right. Well, we turn it to Tyler now.
I am on Twitter at Tyler Huckabee. And I'll recommend devs. I'm a devs boy. I feel like I'm the only one standing the
devs.
Show right now. But I got to. But I think devs is. I'm all in. It ends this week.
Oh, I'm so excited for the ending.
It's been there for me, and I've enjoyed it a lot. It has to be. Some people think it's too slow, but it's just the speed. It's just the weird. It's my kind of weird.
It kind of picked back up.
Here's my impression of devs, if I may. It has to be perfect.
Okay, I got mine.
Okay.
Jamie, you can't come with me. I have to go alone.
That's good.
That's very good.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Oh, it was like I was there.
It's basically
my
just
eyes.
Like drain yourself of any personality and you will
this
be.
This is the radio drama.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Hey, but.
Yeah, it's really fun. I like it. Yeah, it's a little dark sometimes. Like, I have to watch something fun afterward before I go
to bed.
Well,
they say the F word, and they don't need to say that.
Yeah, there is a lot of cursing, and I just don't like, my ears hurt.
Too much cussing.
Yeah.
Too much cussing.
Too much cussing.
Can I lift up somebody else's Twitter account?
Wait,
absolutely.
It's been bringing me a lot of quarantine joy. People should be following Judson Collier on Twitter.
Okay.
My friend Judson.
Judson Collier?
Yeah, he's Collier. He's a friend of the pod. He's a fan of the pod. Some of the best quarantine memes out there.
Oh yeah, Evergreen Status, a lot of Ben Affleck, Ana de Armas memes. Great. Lovely. All right, Judson Collier. All right, thanks Tyler. You can follow me at Kevin Teaport everywhere. I will lift up the Criterion Channel. The Criterion Channel is a streaming... Shut up.
Yes.
Why? You would love it. It's like...
Oh, I do. I love it. I support it. It's great.
Do you have it?
Does it cost money?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. What does it cost?
It's like $100 for a year.
Mm.
Yeah. If you got it. If you have to choose between supporting our Patreon or Criterion, choose Criterion.
And choose our Patreon.
Yeah. I've been getting into it and figuring out, I mean, And to me, Caroline, this is kind of the crux of the streaming wars right now. You see how bad the back catalogs of Netflix and Hulu are compared to the curation of Criterion content.
Mm-hmm.
The film.
We have talked before of like there's no old movies on most of these streaming platforms, so it's hard to go find them.
There's none before like 19.
Canopy has a lot though.
Mm-hmm. Canopy has a good amount, and they have a lot of Criterion movies as well. So I'd recommend that if you're looking for stuff to watch in these trying times. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Patreon.com/goodchristianfun for second service every Friday. We keep cranking them out, especially now more than ever in uncertain times. And if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, we donate $1 to charity, and this month's charity is your local food bank. We're giving all that to our local food banks because they need it. Tyler, thank you so much for joining us, bud.
Thanks, Tyler.
This is always so fun.
What a sweet time.
I love hanging out with y'all.
You too, bud. You're a perfect guest for this show. You know it all.
Dumb.
And there's nothing left to say except for, and all of Pod's people said, amen.
Amen.
Now, if you'll excuse us, we got to go to our quarantine houses. I'm coming for you, Lauren.
Moses. Start early.
Mark Lowry, get your arms wide open for Tyler's hugs. All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.